This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 25 for October 2nd, 2005. Because this is video, I can't signal the audience to applaud anymore. I have to do this more subtly. Can we get an applause sign or something like that? Welcome to episode 25. Patrick Norton is on the floor, ladies and gentlemen, with his back to the audience. That's how he always wanted to do the screensavers. And he finally gets to do it.
Yeah.
But his hat's turned around so you can at least read
that. Well, there were space issues earlier. Now I'm planted here, so I'm done.
You like it?
Because that would require getting my fat ass off the ground.
There's no reason why the pocket protectors have to be on the sofa.
You know, now I'm going to have to... There's cable routing.
No, stay there. You're happy. We don't have to move.
We've got three microphones to move. There's the whole...
Going counterclockwise
issue.
Around the lovely sofas. By the way, we're at the... Gallery Cafe in San Francisco at the elbow where Nob Hill meets Chinatown. And so all the money rolls down the hill and goes into Chinatown.
And it's
Chinatown.
The only street in San Francisco where there's four one-way streets and a cable car going through.
All meeting.
All meeting.
We're across from the historical cable car barn and museum. So how many people took a cable car here today? Oh, yeah, some people did. How very San Franciscan of you. David Prager is here, ladies and gentlemen, hello, from Revision3.com.
Woot!
From PC Magazine, the one and only Robert Herron.
Hey,
star,
how are you?
Along with Patrick Norton of Digital Life TV.
Woohoo!
You had episode 5 come out this week?
No, we had episode 8 come out
eight?
This week.
Are you golly? Roger Chang from GameSpot.com. Kevin Rose from System.org. The Broken Dot, whatever. And, of course, Dig Indignation. DIGG.com. And filling in for Patrick, John C. Dvorak this week, I'm really pleased to have
Cory Doctorow, the man. The legend. Aww.
Author of Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom. His new book is called
Someone Comes to Town, Someone Leaves Town.
Someone Comes to Town, Someone Leaves Town. Boing Boing. He's actually posting to Boing Boing right as we
low
speak.
Low even as we speak.
And then there's his day job.
And he has a day job. He's the foreign affairs coordinator.
European Affairs Coordinator
for Electronic Frontier Foundation.
There are other people who have different kinds of foreign affairs at EFF.
You don't do that.
You gave that up.
Yeah, sleep is for the weak.
EFF.org is 15 years old.
That's right.
Today.
And today is our 15th birthday party at 454 Shotwell. You're all invited.
Go to the 5
party. 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Ciao. Good times. Stickers that say funny things.
That's cool.
Yeah.
EFF's always had some good bumper stickers.
Yeah, Fair Use has a posse. JPEG compression is lossy. No one tap dances like Fosse.
The
Rolling
they all
Stone
rhyme?
Is rarely mossy. No.
No.
ISDN Make It So. We have a big supply of the ISDN Make It So stickers from about 1993.
That was the early years. We were fighting for ISDN. I guess we gave up
Free
on that.
Free Jan Johansson.
Yeah, that's DVD John.
DVD
John. Do you call him DVD Jan?
DVD Jan. Well, so I went to Norway this year, and I met Jan. And it turns out Jan Johansson is probably the most common name in all of Scandinavia. So he goes by Jan Lek Johansson everywhere
so
outside of Scandinavia.
He's
DVD Jan, yeah.
Is he a young guy, a nice guy?
Yeah, he's a young guy, nice guy.
What
lives in France now. Incredibly funny. He told me the story of how he cracked the iTunes DRM. He was very charming and let even a technical slowpoke like me keep up with what he was saying.
He did Playfair, which is now kind of ensconced in J-Ham and
all the rest of it. Yeah, he's a good guy. And
he's one of the good guys.
And his dad's really cool. His dad, like, basically, you know, oversaw this whole, you know, his whole childhood was basically stolen. You know, he's like, you know, grade 9 or so, he cracks CSS along with some pals from Germany. Next 5 years, he spends defending himself in court.
Right.
Right? The charge that they managed to get the Norwegian prosecutors to bring against him, because they didn't have anti-circumvention yet on the books, was invading a computer system. And he said, so what computer system is it that I'm meant to have invaded? And they said, well, you know, your own.
You can't invade your own computer system.
Apparently you can.
Well, that's the point, isn't it, of, as you call it, copy restriction, is it keeps me from doing what I want to do on my system.
Yeah, I had a funny talk a couple of weeks ago with a guy from a big IT company at a DRM standards meeting where he's like, you guys, you're so hung up on property. Don't you know that this is the digital age? It's not like a property age anymore, right? So, like, yeah, you don't own your VCR anymore now that there's DRM in it. Now we kind of own it, too.
Oh.
But it's just like Creative Commons, right? Everything is less propertized. I'm like, wait a second, dude. This isn't like reducing the world's net supply of property. This is reapportionment, right? This is a tax. What you're saying is like we're going to misappropriate the property interest that you have in your laptop and in your PVR and your computer and your iTunes and whatever. We're going to misappropriate that. We're going to transfer it back to, you know, entertainment industry, to CE companies, to IT companies. That's it's not deprivatization, man. That's like, that's a land grab.
Well, it's also twisted. We own part of your VCR, but you better not take part of our intellectual property.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, you don't reverse the
Well, you know, every logic. Pirate who goes up the ladder wants to pull it up behind him and dog the hatch. You know, that's just how it goes, right? Like the phonogram pirates ripped off the sheet music pirates, the radio pirates ripped off the phonogram pirates, cable ripped off broadcasters, VCRs ripped off cable, and now these companies, you know, they're like, well, you know, our piracy, that was legitimate, right? That was progress.
Right.
This stuff people are doing today, it's completely wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the way it is, though, and it's always been that way, and it's always failed. So the good news is we'll win in the end.
Well, it doesn't keep itself free, though.
Yeah,
that's,
I know.
That's what EFF is.
You got to fight for it.
I'll point out we're a member organization, 15 years of EFF, and if you join, you get a tax receipt.
Look at EFF.org. Look at his lid of his notebook. This is for the TV audience.
There you go.
Every time I see you, it's got more crap.
That's because
on
every time you see me, I've broken another laptop and stickered it.
Is this a new one?
Yeah, yeah. This is yet another new one. One got stepped on. I got another one. I went to Singapore. The only part of my hotel room where there was Wi-Fi was the bathroom. I was working on the sink. Power cable was running out the door. Rolled the chair back a little. There went another PowerBook. I'm single-handedly paying for Steve Jobs' ivory-handled back scratchers.
But you and he's got a good collection now. That sounds like our friend Jim Latterback, who was famous for his laptop destruction derby.
He slowed down a bit.
Is he? Yeah. He's better? Yeah?
Yeah, now they usually last 3 to 6 weeks.
Well done.
I have to show Kevin Rose this. MillionDollarHomepage.com.
Yeah,
you know about
that,
right?
Yeah. Oh, he had a PayPal problem, I think.
Is that wild?
I think PayPal decided that
PayPal
they weren't going to let
him down.
Yeah, they weren't going to, because that's, you buy a pixel for so much, and he wants to get $1 million per pixel.
He's got $249,000 in 3 weeks.
In a frozen PayPal account.
No. He changed from PayPal. Yeah, he was shut down for a while.
Now actually, see the DNRs?
I don't know how he's doing it, but he... he's making a lot of money. My friend, look for the IP chicken one right there.
That's
my buddy. He paid $2,500 to get that little ad right there.
It's a big IP chicken.
And he said it's worked for him, though. He's gotten a ton of click-throughs, so he's happy.
It works.
Yeah. For now.
That's our old friend.
Who knew?
Used to be our IT guy at
Tech
TV. Chris Krause, who brought Kevin in.
That's right.
He invented IP chicken. So these are little tiny ads. Just so people who don't know, the guy put a million pixel web page up. Which isn't that big. It's, you know,
10,000 by 10,000.
It's not that huge.
1,000,
right? And he said, buck a pixel. I'm going to pay for college, and in 3 weeks, $250,000 in a frozen PayPal account. That's not so bad, is it? It's been going up every time I go there. My friend Daniel showed me this last night. I had heard about it, but he said, "Have you seen it?" So is this the next big thing on the net? Forget
Dig.
I mean,
this is a 2 week thing. this is the next big thing.
This isn't going to endure.
Why does this stuff happen on the net? I mean, it's amazing.
It's because people come up with great ideas to try to make money. I mean, it's the same thing as that the first people that decided to get companies to sponsor them to go to college, they got their free college. But like, as soon as a billion other people try to do it, then it's not quite as
good. You can only work once?
So, yeah, that's going to work right now.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's a guy that.
This isn't a Ponzi scheme. I mean, he gives you what you pay for.
I'm not saying it is a Ponzi scheme. Not trying to suggest he's, you know, doing anything naughty or evil. I'm just saying the web brings life to a lot of stuff that would normally lie dead on the street.
It's because primate brains release dopamine when we encounter novel things.
And the novelty
is key. That's what it comes
down
to. Yeah.
Got to be new.
Yeah.
If it's not new. In other words, you know, we pretty much run the twit. Ride, it's over right now. This is it. You know how we stay novel? We force people to resubscribe on iTunes every 6 weeks. Works great.
Golden Palace has a big ad there.
Yeah, the Golden Palace. How much do you think that cost? If IP Chicken costs, $2,500?
Yeah, it's about $5,000 right there.
Worth it, though, right?
Well, the funny thing is that Golden Palace, they paid to have someone's head tattooed.
They'd do anything. They bought the Mary toasted cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
They bought, what was the other thing that was on eBay that they bought? I mean, what are they going to do with it? They don't even have a casino.
They're trying to get that last 30-second mention on newscasts around the United States.
They have an online casino, don't they? And everyone knows who they
Palace
are.
Is spelled with an S, I want
actually,
to point
I think
out.
They paid
make
Kevin
sure you
to
go
mention
to the right
on
site.
The show. What they
Golden
pay you,
Palace
Kevin?
With an S. .com. Just took care of that.
Not so much for that mention.
All right, how many of you have seen Serenity?
Am I the only person who saw it?
Patrick's the only twit who saw it. What'd you think?
It was awesome.
Good? Steve Gibson said it was every bit as good as the...
I laughed. I cried. It became a part of me. It was really good, actually.
It was really good. Matter of fact, I think like Lucas should just go out and fall on his sword. He should just like walk out in front of his house and go, wow, with $8 and a recycled television program, they just spanked how many millions of dollars. I mean, Lucas is making bank, but I just want him to take his can of gasoline, sit in the middle of the Presidio in front of all that beautiful like land he wasted to move ILM closer to where people want to live. He should light his ass on fire and apologize.
Wow.
That's just me. I feel
Do you all agree with Serenity, the greatest movie ever? Better than Star Wars?
It was better than Star Wars, but that's not saying much.
So I've got a tip for watching Star Wars, which is you get the DVD, you turn on the Italian dialogue, and you pretend it's opera. And it actually works. I mean,
it's
George Lucas basically
he
writes dialogue with boxing gloves on, right? So long as it's in a language you don't understand, that sounds cool, it works.
Sounds like those remixes that are real hot right now. You saw
are you talking about mashups?
No.
The Phantom Edit.
These new trailers that have been out.
Yeah.
There was a little competition. You could take any film, edit it up, put new soundtrack behind it. And so the first one it's great. The first one that emerged was as if The Shining was a love story, written by Nora Ephron.
A romantic comedy.
A romantic comedy.
Yeah.
And then somebody's done the Titanic. Oh, the next one was a zombie movie out of West Side Story, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And then there's a Titanic one. I can't remember what the Titanic theme is.
So the cut line for the Shining trailer is, meet Jack Torrance. He's a writer looking for inspiration.
It's great. They take the pictures, but it's all new. It's all new soundtrack.
So I saw the best movie this weekend. I saw the new Neil
Mirror
Gaiman
Mask,
movie.
You're going to say. Yeah.
Goodness me, that was a fine, fine piece of film. It was the coolest looking movie I've ever seen. Dave McKean did all the Sandman covers and did The Wolf in the Walls and Day I Swapped My Dad for Two Goldfish. Just did the most amazing job with the visuals on it. Neil Gaiman's dialogue just pops.
He's brilliant, yeah.
And the storyline was so weird and dreamlike and beautiful.
Is it animated?
It's kind of animated. The Henson Creature Shop did all the animation stuff. And then there's lots of live action. The actors they sourced for it were terrific. I've never seen them in anything else before, but they were great. And just beginning to end, a class act. It's playing at the Lumiere around the corner.
Nice.
As the opening weekend, it was so good.
So it's opening worldwide, or at
this
least
weekend.
In the U.S.
It
this
opened
weekend.
On Friday, yeah.
Mirror Mask. Yeah. Did you see that? This made me sad. The Muppets celebrating their 50th anniversary. They're now owned by Disney.
Yeah. Ow.
Oh.
Oh, come on. When you see the Muppets doing American Express commercials, you know something's going horribly, desperately wrong.
So Neil Gaiman we had him on the screensavers. You know, the thing that broke my heart is... He drew, didn't he draw the Sandman or something on the wall?
Yeah.
It's on
behind our set.
It's in my apartment.
You have it?
Yeah.
You're kidding me. You saved it?
That's awesome.
When they broke the set, I said, I'm taking that.
Roger, thank
awesome.
You. I thought it was lost to the ages.
No, it's lost in my closet.
Did you save anything else?
That was the only thing he drew.
Well, it's the only thing he ever draws. So there are like laptops
about,
and leather jackets.
If you're talking about...
When Linus Torvalds signed the
yeah,
back...
Yeah, all that stuff was on the bigger section of wall.
That's gone.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you saved the Gaiman.
Yeah, that was easy. That was actually just a 2x4.
That was a nice tradition. We would have guests sign the set on the back of the set, thinking that we would last forever. And then I wonder if Comcast got that with the rights to everything else.
Actually, I think a lot of that set got traded in when we got the new set.
You know, I was visiting a friend in Sonoma County, Roger, who built the set, and he has the spiral staircase. He has parts of it. I should ask him.
Does it lead anywhere?
No, still doesn't. Well, it was Dvorak's apartment. Wasn't it upstairs?
Yeah.
Well, what happened to the refrigerator? We sold it for $25,000. Of course, they didn't pay for it.
No, $8,000. I think
8,000?
It was like $5,000 or $8,000.
It was a charity auction.
I mean, that's
low. That's low. You buy something at a charity auction, and then you don't pay for it.
Well, what was the charity?
I don't know.
But Morgan's mouse pad went for $700.
And did that guy pay for Morgan's mouse pad?
Oh, and my kilt.
So I don't know what I don't want to know what he did with the mouse pad after.
That all started when Martin was trying to sell my badge from CES. For remember that segment on Call for Help.
What did he get for that?
$300.
Well, there you go. Wow.
I got the coolest auction thing.
What's that?
Walt Disney World security guard's jacket from Epcot Center. Isn't this badass? I'm going to do a little social engineering the next time I'm in Disney. Excuse me. Do you have a license for that shirt?
He is down and out in the Magic Kingdom. Let me show. Did you get that on camera? I have to now consider the camera because we've got video now, which is probably not a good thing. Patrick, how do you feel about wearing makeup again?
There's other like entirely more complex conflicts of interest I have with making video on Twitch.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
So do you want us to stop?
We'll worry about that after I get yelled at this week.
Just show us back.
Somebody's going to yell at you?
Somebody's going to have a strong conversation with me.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not, actually.
Because there's video of Twit?
Because you're talking about going to a three-camera shoot in a more screensavers-like format.
Oh, well, we won't do that then. We'll go to a five-camera shoot, and it'll look more like Serenity.
I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy. That's it.
Leo!
As if it were a Nora Ephron comedy.
I like that.
What could we do to make that person who's going to yell at you happy?
Put it in Italian.
Works for Star Wars.
Pretend it's opera.
Exactly.
We'll
worry about that later.
We'll just call you Don from now on.
Well, I don't want to get you in trouble.
Stand back. Leo's opening.
This is a gift from Dan Dorado at uneasysilence.com. He says, ooh, you can't have pocket protectors without
pens.
So we'll go, everybody who gets a pocket protector gig gets a lovely, colorful Twit pen. Thank you, Dan. What is it with people? People send us weird stuff. Did you notice anything in the news, Kevin, that you thought was worth talking about this week?
That's a good question. Oh, Google announced that they're going to be offering Wi-Fi in the Bay Area, but they also put down a speed to that as well. Well, they say
300 kbps.
300, yeah,
what?
300 yeah, in the Bay Area, in San Francisco.
You mean 300 per area, or
no, just
kilobits,
anyone that wants access
total
to the
speed?
Wi-Fi.
So it's slow.
It's slow. It's good for web surfing and email, but...
So what's the theory of that? ISDN is back. Good
ISDN
news.
ISDN is back.
Make it FF1 after all that.
The big question is... is there a business model?
Oh, well, heck yeah. Are you kidding? They know where you are. They know what you're searching for. They could say, oh, you wanted a latte. Just, you know, look at the board right where you're sitting. Of course there's a business model.
It's more about, I mean, they just got to come up with the most creative ad.
I mean, but the other thing is, how many people here are logged onto a free Linksys router rather than paying the $5 to get the
do you have to pay for the
Wi-Fi?
Well, you know, if it wasn't for the Linksys community network, those wouldn't exist, man. And, like, the default community network are kicking their ass.
Yeah,
those guys are
everywhere.
So organized.
This is where you hack the Linksys 54, WRTC 54 with Linux.
I was actually
firmware.
Just kidding.
Oh, you're kidding?
That's really cool.
But they are doing that.
That's Flickinger X of O'Reilly's thing.
Yeah, and a lot of people are doing that, and it's the community nets. You log in, you get a homepage that's relevant to this micro community that you've got. And Montreal's doing it. Toronto's done it. I think that's a great project. Yeah. And, of course, you've got the Bay Area Wireless User Group here in San Francisco that put Wi-Fi on Sutro. So you think Google's becoming the evil empire. Is that what you're saying?
No.
It's weird how they're able to do all this and not...
get the
feel
flag.
Like an evil empire.
You know what? They are feeling like it.
Really? You
yes.
think so?
I think it's about to shift for Google.
I don't know.
Don't you think so? What do you think, Corey? Do you think Google still looks like the golden boy? Or
I think they're doing generally good stuff. I think my big problem with Google is the same problem I have with all the companies that are doing business in China, which is that, you know, they all say, well, to do business in China, we have to sign up to, like, you know, like Yahoo a couple of weeks ago. We need to sign up to rat out Chinese journalists and send them to jail for 10 years. Or, you know, Google had an investor gave a talk at Web 2.0 last year about how they censor the news search results. And they said, well, we're not doing it because it's, like, evil or because we're kowtowing to the bad Chinese government. We're doing it because it's, like, a bad user experience. If you search for on the news page and you follow a link and you click on it and it says, you shouldn't have clicked on that link, do it again and we'll come over and arrest you. So what we do is we take those out to improve the user experience of a Google. And it's like, you know what?
We're keeping them from being arrested.
If you're doing it because you're a publicly traded company that has a duty to your shareholders, I may or may not buy that excuse, but at least it's honest, right?
Yeah.
To say that we're
Tell
doing it, you know, to, we're, yeah. we're do, it's for their own good. It makes the user experience better to be censored. You know, I was in Singapore a couple of weeks ago.
It's like
ago,
an Orwell novel.
And, and like, I did this phoner with this woman who runs the book section there, and she said, I said, so what's it like, you know, editing a newspaper where you're in a police state? And she said, well, you know, it doesn't come up in the book section much. Of course, we can't review books by gay people. And I was like, wow!
That eliminates
what?
A few.
And so I said,
do you have to ask
so
ahead
I
of time?
I asked them about it when I got there, and I said, and she said, well, you know, the intelligentsia run the government. They're cool with it, right? But the lumpen proletariat out in the heartland, whenever we mention gay people, they get up in arms and they demand that the government do something about them. And so really, by not ever mentioning gay people, we're doing them a favor because it would whip up all this dissent otherwise. It's this amazing kind of, you know, up is down, black is white.
Right.
It helps people's user experience when you don't show them controversial news results, you know?
Nobody wants to feel bad. They want to rationalize it so they're justifying what they're doing.
Yeah.
You think because Google's a public company now, though, we're going to see more of this kind of
behavior? I don't know
if
we'll see more of it because they're a public company. I think everyone thinks that they need China. And I don't know what to do about it. I mean, I think China needs Google as much as Google needs China.
Do you have to go in and cooperate with China?
Well, so that's the
only
question,
if you
right?
want to make
Couldn't
money
you just be Google
Well, no, but
here?
Hang on a second. If Google said, right, we'll just keep serving, we won't play ball, would China have the guts to block access to Google?
Yes.
Every Chinese businessman would go, holy shit. Can't do this. You're going to destroy us.
Well, the problem is,
would it endure? I mean, look at how wired the business community is.
I think that's what you have to, I think you have to take that hard line and just say it's like nonviolent resistance. You just have to do the right thing and keep doing the right thing.
But you
can't. What you can't do is compromise in the way that they're.
Well, it's a little like DRM, right? As soon as you like lie down with the dogs, you wake up with fleas. As soon as they say, you know, you got to make a little concession here, otherwise you can't get in. Then that invites the next concession and the next concession and the next concession.
That's
right.
What I'm saying.
So Yahoo started censoring their search results, and then Yahoo answered, you know, weird no evidence subpoenas that resulted in revealing the identity of a dissident journalist that sent him to jail for 10 years.
By the way,
I think this is bad. I think but there's like there's a difference between a corporate entity. I mean, I don't know.
I agree with Patrick. I mean, you have to understand the Chinese government runs and owns most of
fine. So don't go in China.
But that's what we're saying. All these companies are like, if they don't go into China, then they're basically any publicly.
If no company would go into China, no company would sign that we're going to give up on human rights.
No publicly traded company in North America can afford to not go into China
because
their shareholders are going to kick the bejesus out of them.
Yeah, we want 1 billion new customers.
So when you tell me you go into a store and you want a DVD player for $40. Where do you think that? How do you think they?
China.
Made, yeah, everything's
but
made in
how
China.
Can, how
you're,
can ta- the,
you're talking about a government. You're talking about a system.
That
where
laptop's
they,
made in China. That laptop's
everything.
Made in China.
I mean,
that laptop's owned by a Chinese company.
It's not just directly related. It's also what's indirectly related. You have a lot of money. I mean, people don't realize the amount of public debt the U.S. has is held by China. All those
huge percentage.
Those bonds they have. If they wanted to, they could turn the screws down on us and basically bankrupt this country. So, I mean, everyone walks a fine line because, like Patrick says, people want to make money.
But hang on a second. Are you saying that if Google doesn't censor the internet, that they're going to call in U.S. national debt?
No. What he's saying is like what I'm saying is if Google says, hey, we're going to take the high road, we're not going to go into China unless we can have the completely free and uncensored experience we give in America, right? I think Google shareholders in Wall Street are going to go berserk because Yahoo and everybody else is already in there.
Well, so what
Being
I'm saying is,
traded company
how
is
long
messy.
Can China afford to boycott Google? And is it longer than Google can afford to boycott China? Because I think that it would be really bad for China's economy to boycott Google, right? Because Google delivers a lot of value, right? And China depends on getting the internet into China. That's why they have the internet, right?
Well,
like, they could just cut it off.
You have a whole handful of players that are willing to step up to the plate if Google doesn't, though.
Can they deliver as much value as Google? Like, if
Yahoo
and Google
they want
walked
to.
Away from
That's
it,
the whole reason it's happening,
value?
I think. I think if Google's
Yahoo
getting in there, because if they don't get in there, then Yahoo's going to get in there. If Yahoo decides to make
Google
compromises,
no.
then Microsoft, you know.
Yeah,
that
but that's a race to the bottom, right? You can also structure it like a race to the top.
I agree with Corey.
Yeah, but, if none of them go in, I mean,
using the S word or Time Warner AOL won't carry this on our...
Well, do
can
we
you
even
edit
know,
that out?
Just do we even
sure
know what the largest
when he says the when he says shit? You edit that? Out? Oh no, I just said shit. Oh no,
shit. You're gonna be doing today.
What are we gonna do?
The little beepy.
There's a giant big square.
Do
where
Do we even
your
know what
be?
The most popular search engine in China is right now?
I don't know.
Does anybody know? Yeah. Is it Chinese owned? Is it internal? You know.
Well, if I were a Chinese dissident, I would want access to Google, and I wouldn't want Google to say, we're going to cut off anything that's politically sensitive from our search.
I think they're probably... Wouldn't,
well, not a Chinese dissident. If you're a Chinese businessman, though...
Anybody.
And you found out that Google was being censored. I mean, they tried it for a while, right? Long before Google caved, there was a time when they boycotted Google.
Right.
Then there was a time when they unfroze Google. And then they went back to Google, and they said, we froze you once. We can do it again. Now you've got to play ball. Well, they unfroze Google not just because they wanted to play ball with Google or they thought they could make Google dance to their will. They unfroze Google because
they had to.
People were up in arms because, you took away their Google and all of a sudden they were freaked out. I mean, yes, it's a police state, but police states rely on kind of people being okay with living in a police state to a certain extent.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, you're also assuming a lot of the populace that they have a particular viewpoint that is similar to your own. I mean, take Burma, for example. When the state runs the media, I mean, you're grown up and you're fed a certain line. So anything outside,
you buy it.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's the power of the internet to overthrow that. All right, moving on.
Right. It would be nice.
It would be nice. I'm dreaming.
Speaking of weird partnerships, BitTorrent gets shade under $9 million in VC to start doing file sharing service, hopes to distribute Hollywood content. That was like the line. USA, everybody's covering this.
Dvorak sent an email to us all saying it's the beginning of the end.
For BitTorrent?
I don't know what he just said. It's the beginning of the end. I don't know if he meant BitTorrent or the world. I don't know.
It's one of those cryptic messages he's like, he likes giving out. It's
kind is
of,
it the beginning of the end? Let's narrow it down to BitTorrent. As soon as they take money from VC.
I mean, beginning for the end for the studios that make those?
I think it's actually, I'll say it's good. As long as BitTorrent doesn't, you know, sell out and say, okay, we're going to, DRM. But to take a little money to become, I mean, they really, I want BitTorrent to succeed. We rely on BitTorrent.
The piracy business is not something anyone can make money on, says Ashwin Avenue.
Not since the Supreme Court
BitTorrent with Bram Cohen. We want to distribute paid and ad-supported content.
Don't you think it's Bram Cohen's going, after the Supreme Court decision, the first thing Bram does is say, oh my God, let me look at all those things I wrote. Wait a minute. Oh, here's a page that says, I support piracy. I'm in trouble.
Well, that was a page he wrote supposedly as a joke, like 7 years ago.
Yeah, well, that was his rationale.
Somebody else dug out. Yeah.
So what do you think Bram does? Maybe if we can get some VC funding. We can be legitimate.
Yeah. Well, eDonkey just basically laid down and said, we're done.
He probably thought he was screwed after the Supreme Court decision, don't you think?
Interesting thought.
Hey, I want to keep BitTorrent alive, however it happens. And we don't, the stuff we distribute over BitTorrent, and the stuff you distribute over BitTorrent, the stuff you distribute over BitTorrent, Kevin Rose... Well, is all legitimate legal stuff.
Yeah. There's tons of legitimate users.
BitTorrent's open source, though. I mean, it's not going
Nobody
anywhere.
Controls.
We
yeah.
don't need yeah. to give them money. Obviously, he has commercial intentions in mind when taking
He wants
his
to make a little money. Nothing wrong with that. Right?
You got to feed yourself.
Yeah, it depends on what he wants to do with it. I'm curious to see.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting to watch.
You know, more power to him. He got $9 million, more power to him. Top 100 products of 2005, according to PC World. I just thought I'd run them by you and see what you think. Should we go backwards? How much time do we have? I won't start at 100.
No. Top 5.
Top, yeah, 5 or 10.
Top 5. Let's do 10. Number 10, the Trio 650.
No.
That belongs to... No?
The PDA that no one loves.
I've got one.
Everyone
I like
owns
it.
No
I
one
think
loves.
People love
wait,
the
wait. You're, okay, you're the first person I've heard who's... I know three people who've been carrying them for months. You're
I've
the
got
only
the
one
ectoplasm case.
He's got
and
rubber
like
on
it.
His. His is in
yeah,
a
yeah,
sheath.
No, I mean, I had the P900 before. Talk about a boat anchor.
See, I liked my P900.
Oh, no. It was, I mean,
but I don't use it anymore. So
the thing I like about this is it's the first phone that I've gotten to successfully sync with my Mac. Ever. Because like the P900 just didn't sync.
Never
like
did.
It just never, ever, ever did.
And the Sidekick never really sunk very
no,
well.
Sunk. Well, it sunk.
You know what? I just went back to a phone.
Yeah,
kind
so
of
did
pathetic,
I.
You know?
I had the 650. I gave it to a friend.
Yeah, you didn't like it because it was too
it's
big.
It's just too bulky for me. Yeah. I mean, I like the fact that you can get your email on it, you can sync your contacts, but
like
the web browser
soap.
Sucks.
All right, so we say it does not belong on the list.
Well, they sell 130,000 of them a month.
Depends on your needs.
Ah, not bad.
And they just and then now that they think they're going to sell even more of them because
Windows,
they're moving over to Windows platform,
Mobile,
which probably they'll probably sell a lot more because of that. And then there's going to be a lot of pissed off people that want it with the Palm OS.
Isn't it funny to see
that
Palm as a Microsoft?
They said they're doing
partner.
Both though, right? For the 700, I'm going to do a Palm version and a Windows.
So which will win?
Oh, the Windows, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 9, Canon EOS Digital Rebel, the new XT version. I think so. Sub 1000 SLR.
High performance SLR.
Nice. It's much faster than the original Digital Rebel. It's
and it still takes
nice
all
lenses.
The standard Canon.
All the Canon
bandit.
Lenses. I think that belongs there, yeah. Mm-hmm. Number 8, Skype.
Yeah.
Sure.
So here's an interesting thing about Skype and the Skype acquisition. So those guys have got like gigantic judgments outstanding against them in Australia now, the mm-hmm. guys who founded Skype, right, as a result of the Kazaa litigation.
That's right.
Is that money ever going to get out of into their hands?
Sharman Networks, you mean?
Yeah. Well, no, not Sharman Networks.
See,
the,
I don't understand
founders,
the relationship
right?
of Skype. It says it's a Luxembourg company. Is that just a front for
well, no,
the
no.
Sharman?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. No. I'm not making any kind of allegation of that sort. No, I'm just saying that it's the same founders.
They're never going to get
right.
Get
and
the
if they can figure out a way to make the liability leap right. from the company in Australia to the founders,
right.
and then they can then say, all right, well, the founders have got billions of dollars rolling into their personal accounts right. this week from eBay, from PayPal. They can then go to the courts and say, well, we have a judgment outstanding against these guys.
Wow.
We'd like to at least freeze this until we can figure out where this is all going.
Yeah.
It's just speculation, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that kind of sneaky, underhanded stuff.
You just gave nightmares to the Sharman Networks guys.
Poor
they're
Sharman
they're
Networks.
Great guys.
Yeah.
They're just dying.
They've already been living in a nightmare for quite some time.
This one kind of surprised me. I'm not sure I would put this on the top 10 list. The number 7 is the Seagate USB 2.0 pocket drive. You've seen that. It's about the size of a matchbook.
Oh,
it's
I have
hard
one of those.
Drive, 4 gig hard drive,
I have
USB.
One with the little cord.
It's cool.
Is it
cool.
flash?
How much is it?
It's $200.
It's orange. Yeah,
4 gigs.
But you can
that's
get
the cool part. It's
you can
orange,
almost
right?
get that in no, an iPod.
I have a gray one. They might
make
it
storage device.
You get a Nano now, and you'd get the same amount. But
what's
$50 more. $200.
That's pretty pricey. I mean, for 2 gigs of flash.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it on the top 10 list.
It's
it was for about $150.
It's a hard drive.
It's a little too 40.
It's a little Hitachi.
Oh, it's a moving
it's a 40 gig?
But just comparing it to, say, a 2 gig key that you get for $120, $130 now.
Speaking of which, rumors are flying new iPod might be an 80 gig because Hitachi's got the 80 gig. iPod.
Oh, no, mine. It's not this little orange LaCie.
That's LaCie. LaCie just, you know, it's a little more stylish.
And it's orange.
And it's 8 gigs.
It's 8 gigs.
And it's $149. Well, screw this one.
Well, that's the problem with these things. Every
PC world, we should tell them. Yeah, that's old. That's old. That's out of date. The one and only PC on the top 10 list is an Alienware, the Aurora 3.
I saw Alienware started making servers now.
Yeah, that
who's buying those
I want
servers?
A gaming server. Because gamers, gaming
no,
server.
No, no, no. I'm talking like one user.
A one user
server. Rack.
No,
like,
I
what network
that.
Administrator is like looking at all their Alienware servers?
PC Magazine but, gave man, them the rank as
the
number
the
one.
Ones who just got rid
it's
of
got
all
cool
of their
lighting
Apple
in
servers.
Yeah, yeah right.
Does it have like four inches of extra plastic around it?
but Kevin, like this is for you who like decide that you think one of the reasons that you like the Sun Microsystems servers is because it's got a cool logo on the top.
There you go.
I just think Sun makes. I mean, yeah, that's true.
They make a pretty
you
server.
You get the glowing eyes on the front of the rack.
Now I know. I know, Kevin. You're yeah, going to agree with the number five. Pick.
What's that?
The dull.
The dull.
The dull ultra sharp 24-inch LCD flat panel.
The only reason I don't know if performance wise, Robert could probably tell you better as far as LCDs.
But you like how it looks.
They're cheap as
and they're cheap.
Yeah, they're dirt cheap.
You like the ultra sharp, Robert?
That is a highly rated display. There's nothing wrong with it. What is it? 1920 by 1200.
It's huge. 24-inch.
Awesome resolution.
Yeah. And cheap.
Dual
that's what I like about Dell flat screens. They're just so.
What's the price?
It's not Dell. It's dull.
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 Those Chinese.
Dare to be dull. That was the Bill McCrone motto when he started PC Magazine.
That's a nice display, though. Highly
yes.
rated.
All right. That's the number five deserves it. Number four, the Belkin Pre-N Wireless. I agree on that.
I've heard good things. I haven't
excellent.
Used it yet.
That thing's
people
amazing.
People love that.
Unbelievable.
I think any of the Pre-N stuff
eight,
is good.
Well, not any. No. You got to get the True MIMO stuff. There's two chipsets. If you get an Ergo chipset, yes. 800 feet, you get like 100 megabits. It's amazing. Yeah. Of course, don't use your old B and G stuff. You got to get all new
gear.
But it's nice.
Number three, and this might be a surprise. It's PC World OS 10 Tiger. Dead silence. You don't like it? You're using a Mac.
I use it. I loathe it. I've never had a machine freeze up as much as I have
really?
Since I put Tiger in.
I haven't had any problems.
I was in Portland last
concept.
Weekend hanging out with a friend of mine who's like an Apple guy. He said next update's going to fix 18,000 bugs.
Whoa,
I've never had more beach balls in my life.
Well, you know, I haven't had that problem.
Really?
And I've been very fortunate, I guess.
What do you
there are USB there? Issues. Do you use a lot of USB devices?
No.
I use it with my Mac Mini, and I find it actually a bit slower than...
Yeah.
Then Panther on my older G4.
Mail. I mean, you know, the fact that you hit reply in mail and start typing, it doesn't buffer your keystrokes, right? It takes like 3 seconds to paint the window on the screen. And you type, yeah, that sounds cool. I'll meet you there at 3. And you're about to hit send. You're looking there, and all it says is E.
You know, that may not be mail. That may be OS 10, because I've noticed that's been happening
well,
with Mulberry.
It was part of the 10.4
it's the text,
update.
It's the text. Because Mulberry, which I use for email, mm-hmm. it's an IMAP client. Same thing. I can't. So it must be the text entry routine.
Sometimes. Do you know if most Mac users are just installing the updates for the OS just on top of the previous OS, or does it give you an option
I've done
for
both,
fully cutting it?
I've done both,
over.
And it's the same diff.
Really?
It is. It has a very good install because it'll move the system folder out. It's a pretty easy thing to do. Number two, Gmail.
Love it.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. We all like that.
You know what was totally missing from Gmail? Delete everything in my spam folder.
Yeah.
So if I get 20,000 spams a day, right? So I tried looping my mail through Gmail
for
a while
to
do this, and my Gmail filled in like 60 days, and I was like, okay, time to empty out all the spam. And
you can't
like,
select
you can do
all
it 100 at a time, right?
Oh,
there were like
good.
A million spams, yeah. and I could do it 100 at
good.
A time.
There's a new free mail that's been going around, invitation only 30 gigs.
Yeah, I heard about that.
30, it's like 30
who cares?
Gig. Who cares? I got an invitation. I didn't even, you know.
I mean, will the company be around by the time
right.
you fill it?
If you look at the webpage, it's a little funky looking.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we'll give 30 gigs to the first 50 people.
I just want 30 gigs of online storage for free.
Well, you could do it because you have email. Just mail yourself
you
big files.
Break it up.
Yeah, you would have to break it up.
Use WinRAR. Just bust everything up. 5 gig chunks.
I'm going to try a new... I'm going to try... Have you ever heard of graylisting? I'm going to try a new spam, any spam thing. You use graylisting?
Biggest problem with graylisting is you... So the way graylisting works is if a mail agent contacts your server and it hasn't contacted it in the last 24 hours or 48, depending on how you config it, it says sends the SMTP I'm very busy message and says come back in 15 minutes. 15 minutes is kind of how long it takes the big ISPs to see that a mail has come into one of their fake email addresses, their honeypot addresses, and then block that IP address. So a spammer has to stay put long enough to be blocked, and it kind of fixes that. No, it works. That works pretty good. The thing that doesn't work is a lot of legit mail, when they see that come back in 15 minutes, puts it in a 24-hour retry queue. So, like, here's me on the phone to British Airways going, I really need you to email my ticket. And they're saying, like, we emailed you your ticket. Yeah. And then 24 hours later, there's my ticket. Yeah. Right, so adding potentially 24 to 48 hours of latency to your thing, and it's not like I can call up BA and say you got a badly configured mail agent there, guys, you should really fix that. It's like if I could dictate terms to BA, I wouldn't need them to email me my ticket.
Maybe the key is whitelisting, or I'm going to try it and see. But I think you're right. The idea is great because spammers just won't retry.
Yeah,
and in theory, it should get rid of all your spam. So are you still doing it?
Yeah, I'm still doing it. It takes care of about 95% of my spam on my personal address. We don't use it on our EFF stuff. And, the false positives are probably a little below the number of false positives that I was getting when I was just trying to do Bayesian or whatever. I just get too much spam to hand sort it. It's just way too much.
Me too. Number one item on the PC World Top 100 list. You want any? Let's just get some guesses. If you're looking at it, don't.
Is it made from a company headquartered in Cupertino?
This is not 20 questions.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
It's software.
Oh.
That should be enough for you. Come on, Patrick.
I know what it is.
Oh, you know.
But I've read the list.
All right. That's why I didn't send this out this week.
Well, can I give them all a hint?
Yeah.
You're using it to browse the web right now.
You're probably
Firefox.
All using it.
Firefox.
Firefox. How many of you are using Firefox right now?
I am.
Prager?
Yep.
Firefox. Robert's Firefox.
Me.
At home,
Corey's
I do.
Firefox,
I have
Kevin's
no
Firefox. What? You're the only
Where's
one without
laptop,
a laptop.
Man?
Where's your laptop?
Ever since my laptop got stolen 8 years ago, I've been kind of loathed to actually buy a replacement.
To take it anywhere?
Wow. 8 years ago.
Yes.
So when the burglars got it home and opened it up and they saw the little pterodactyl, it said, that's a living! They probably were delighted.
But, Roger, you can get a notebook now for under a grand, and back then it was
$100.
You can get $100.
Do you see Nick Negroponte's new MIT?
I'll believe that. I mean, he's amazing, and they've got a lot of momentum, but I'll believe that when it actually starts showing
I love the idea. It says one laptop per child.
Yeah.
They want to have 15 million machines within a year. The real cost is under $100.
I mean, how isn't that like the SIM computer?
They'll be encased in rubber, so Corey will like that.
The Tonka, my first laptop.
My first laptop. Flash memory, not a hard drive. That's one of the ways they keep it cheap and reliable. Four USB ports. Wi-Fi. That's what it tells you is how cheap all of these technologies are.
The problem is a lot of these technologies aren't that cheap. I mean,
you don't think they can do it?
I'm not saying they can do anything.
The big cost is this display, right? That's got to be the biggest cost.
The display and the battery are pretty expensive.
It'll have a dual mode display, so it can still be. The last time they did this, they didn't have a display.
It was a computer, right?
Yeah. And you would hook it up to like a TV or I can't.
No,
remember.
Like the original, the one before this, the computer was like a little handheld, like a PDA on steroids.
You'd project it, and like an LEDs or something.
Yeah. I mean, if you
this will have a color display or monochrome, 4 times normal resolution when you use monochrome and works in sunlight. That's the idea.
Sounds like the old Apple II double high res mode.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go to the MIT's webpage for it, it's basically they're saying, hey, this is a research initiative to develop a $100 laptop. So
you don't think
it's a great initiative.
It's a phenomenal initiative.
The SimPewter is being made. People are making the SimPewter.
I mean, has anyone actually judged the success?
I don't know. I mean, it's not financial success. It's how many people you get it into their hands and are using it, and it's making a difference in their lives, and that's hard to measure, I'm sure. Any other topics, or should we go to email?
No, yes. I think we should definitely talk. Like, I see Robert just keep surfing about it. The whole HD, DVD, Microsoft, and Intel thing, and then, of course, Dell and HP fire back saying, Blu-ray.
So Apple, Dell, and HP, thinking most computer manufacturers would go this way, are supporting the Blu-ray HD standard. The movie companies like HD, computer
half
companies
of
like
them do.
The computer,
half of them do.
Yeah, right.
Some
Disney
them,
went
yeah.
with Blu-ray, but Universal and some of the other ones.
Race to the bottom.
Crazy.
Right?
Like,
what are they selling it to the studios on? Well, this one's more restrictive, right? Blu-ray's more restrictive.
Well,
DVD
this
HD
is the interesting
has got
thing.
Even more features that none of our customers
wasn't
want. It, no, Blu-ray's got more features.
Wasn't
than
Microsoft and Intel originally in the Blu-ray camp?
And supposedly
they switched because
they found out. Supposedly the story is that China was actually backing the HD DVD spec, and they were basically planning that the cost per disc would actually go down.
Well, maybe it's revisionist, because what Microsoft's saying now is we support it, and I think Corey will have something to say about this, because it's easier to copy discs with. In other words, the thought it's still got DRM, but it's a less restrictive DRM.
Yeah, sure, but you know, the point is that the thing that will determine what the studio is licensed to is which one's most restrictive. Right? We've never said before the DVD that just because you made a record, you should be able to design the record player. Right, that's just like never been a part of the law. Right, it's never been a part of the way that businesses do business. You know, traditionally, what's happened is like technologists have made cool toys. The entertainment industry has tried to get them banned. Technologists have dragged the entertainment industry kicking and screaming by the hair to the money tree. And then, you know, we got VCRs, we got cable TV, we got radio, we got jukeboxes, we got computers, we got the internet, and so on. You know, at every turn, it's just like made more money for more artists. And here we have this bizarre thing where Intel, whose grosses are bigger than the entire Hollywood studio enterprise put together, are saying, like, is there some way we can try and be more like you little pipsqueaks whose business is a lot smaller
than ours?
Why
are they doing that?
You know, I got a couple of theories. My first one is that this comes from my friend Tim Wu, who's a Columbia law professor. He says that industries in decline lobby best, right? If you're in a really, really competitive industry and you stop competing to send someone to Washington to suck up for privilege, while you're there, your competitors eat your lunch. But when you're down to like four big entertainment companies, you can all gather around and have like a gentle monopolist agreement that no one will stab anyone else in the back while we're all in D.C. sucking up. The other part of it, though, is that, you know, the way that the tech companies have traditionally interacted with government and regulation is by receiving military funding. And military funding is really different from traditional congressional battles, right? You know, there's like big swaths of the military budget that work like this. You know, someone shows up at Congress and says, I'm taking some money, I'm not telling you how much or what it's for, but I'll be back when I need some more, right? And if that's the way that you interact with government, it's really easy to become kind of a nerd determinist. You know, our superior technology makes your inferior laws irrelevant, or like a nerd fatalist, right? Anyone who goes to Washington ends up smelling like the swamp, right? You know, we can't get involved in lawmaking. It would prostitute us. We are too pure for that. So, you know, I think that that's more or less why you have the tech companies bending over for the entertainment companies. But, you know, this all relies on, like, there never being two guys in a garage or two girls in a garage who start a tech company that doesn't want to play the game.
Yeah. You made your speech, Why All Healthy Ecologies Have Parasites, from E-Tech.
All complex ecosystems have parasites, yeah.
Really good point that by being so restrictive, DVD has become basically a dead end. It's not an innovative technology.
Yeah. I mean, if you bought $1,000 worth of DVDs 10 years ago, in 10 years, the features that have been added to those DVDs are like none.
Zero.
Right? Whereas with CDs, you've got like karaoke, MP3, ringtones, MP3 CD, backup, share with your friends, libraring, all that stuff.
Which should not have happened if it had been DRM.
Yeah, because like no one had a veto. If you said, okay, I want to add a new feature to every CD in the field by releasing a CD player that does one more thing. Right? No one got to say, no, you're not allowed to. You know, we designed that record, so we should be able to design your record player. But with DVDs, because there's DRM, it's against the law to add a feature without getting permission.
Right. So Microsoft, Intel, now HD, Sony, other computer, Dell, HP, Blu-ray, Universal HD, Disney, Blu-ray. Are we screwed?
Pretty much. We're going to try to make this the most complicated user experience while y'all are getting driven to HD DVDs to the action of the federal government.
It's almost as if they drew a line straight down the middle and said, everybody, half of you that way, half of you that way.
Basically, what this means is that the adoption for HD video is going to take longer. Because
nobody's going to take a chance.
Yeah, I'm happy with my DVDs. I'm not going
to
spit.
Well, on the upside, it's like, now, you know, Betamax machines are hard to keep running, but DVD players should live close to forever.
Now, Robert's always made the case that it's going to be cheap to make a dual format DVD player. Are we seeing them?
Samsung introduced one. Well,
they got one
ready to
It'll
go.
It'll play both.
Yeah.
It'll be cheap,
but the problem will be the recordable media. And that was one of the big reasons that Intel and Microsoft kind of came down on
HD DVD.
They
want to be able to record them.
It's the recordable formats, and they're not seeing from the Blu-ray camp a 50 gig disc that you can record to yet. They've been claiming that storage capacity for a long time, but
HD has it?
HD can go up to 30 gigs right now, and for Blu-ray, you're looking at 27.
Well, that's important to computer makers.
And then HP came back and said, well, in Japan, you can buy the 50 gig recorder right now. I'm looking everywhere online. I can get a set-top recorder shipped from Japan with the 27 gig storage, but the 50 gig storage is non-existent.
Is 50 dual-sided? Is dual layer?
Yeah. And so far,
so they've got single layer. They just don't have dual
right.
layer.
But the HD.
And they're saying it's unlikely.
The HD number they quoted was a dual layer HD DVD disc, wasn't it?
It'll have to be, right?
ROMs will probably be available soon. I mean, for movies. But that, nobody can do anything with that other than play the content that's
already
there.
So we're going to be able to get DVD ROM players, DVD players that are dual format. That'll be fine. That's not going to be an issue. It's going to really come down
They're saying initially no.
No.
You're not going to see that. And that's
you're not going to see dual format.
We were supposed to have the HD DVD stuff in stores already in this country, and that's been pushed back till next year. And now with the new to-do with the formats going, you know, every which way, I doubt we're going to see it by Christmas of next year at this point, with the way the fighting's going on.
That'd be the best possible outcome, though, right? Like, let them go on fighting while you know, video continues to be delivered over swarming download technologies to people with hard drives, and like let them go on squabbling while the world moves on, you know?
Well, the problem is we'd like some higher content. I mean, it'd be nice to have better quality on the capture as it's going down.
Yeah, I'm using a digital VHS deck to record DVD or high def at this point, or a PC-based solution.
Hey, speaking of which, so there's an initiative to put the broadcast flag back on the legislative calendar in the House.
Yeah.
20 Congress critters were suicidal enough to publicly support an initiative to break their constituents' televisions. I just put a list of their names on Boing Boing. You can give them a call, tell them what you think. The last time they tried this about 3 weeks ago, they got overwhelmed by so much email and calls and faxes that they just all backed off from it. Time to do it again.
Twit Army attention. Yeah. Go to boingboing.net and call your Congress critter.
Yeah, I can. Do we have time to read 20 names, or is that going to be boring? Charles Pickering from Mississippi, Adolphus Towns from New York, John Schickmus from Illinois, George Radanovich from California, Mike Ferguson from New Jersey, Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee, Bart Gordon from Tennessee, Mary Bono, of course, from California.
Yeah, she is
Lee Terry from Nebraska.
The
she sure is. Lee Terry from Nebraska, Ed Whitfield from Kentucky, Bobby Rush from New Jersey, Vito Fosella from New York, Joe Shadegg from Arizona, Elliot Engel from New York, Albert Wynn from Maryland, Michael Doyle from Pennsylvania, Charles Gonzalez from Texas, Charles Bass from New Hampshire, John Sullivan from Oklahoma, and Frank Poloni from New Jersey. These guys, if they're your representatives, you should give them a call as soon as you can and let them know what you think of this.
And if you just want to fight the broadcast flag in general, EFF has a great activism
Action.eff.org. You can send a letter to Congress to tell them about it. It's just sort of a one-click.
So the fact that the FCC pulled back on the broadcast flag doesn't mean it's dead.
No, no, no. So the reason it went to the FCC is because we made such a stink about it when they were trying to move it into Congress that no Congress critter wanted to touch it. They were like, this is the kiss of death, right? When it was small and unregarded, they thought, oh, we'll just make it happen. No one will notice.
We should explain. This is the feature that would be built into anything that could take digital media that would prevent copying of that digital media.
Well, not really. What it would do is it would say anyone who wants to build a device that's capable of receiving or sitting downstream from a receiver for digital television would have to get permission from a regulator to add features to it.
Right.
And they would have to design it so that users can modify it. So no open source, no free software. It all has to be proprietary, closed, glued together, no makers, no hackers, no nothing. So we made a big stink. The lawmakers were scared off. Fritz Hollings sent a letter to Chairman Powell at the FCC saying, we think that you already have the jurisdiction
you
to do this.
This.
And, you know, so we looked at this memo that he sent, right? It was a Word file. They posted it to the FCC's website. We took it. We opened it up with strings in Unix. And it turned out that it originated on a copy of Word registered to a Motion Picture Association staffer.
No.
Who apparently are the backup jurisdictional question advisors to powerful committee chairmen in the Senate. And so the FCC made the regulation. Well, they don't have the authority to regulate what you do with a device after you receive the show, right? That would basically put them in charge of PCs,
right?
Like, you know, the FCC just doesn't regulate what features PCs can have. And if they did, it would make them into an agency like 1,000 times larger than they are now. So we went to the Second Circuit, we went to the D.C. Circuit. The D.C. Circuit said, well, along with Public Knowledge and the American Library Association and so on, they said, you're right, no jurisdiction, no more broadcast flag. Entertainment industry, if you want a broadcast flag, you've got to go and convince a lawmaker to cut her or his own throat by breaking their constituents' televisions. And so they found 20 lawmakers dumb enough to do this.
Do you really think it's cutting their throat? I mean, we know about it, but do you think the general American populace knows or cares?
Well, they will if I have my way.
Well, we know a couple 100,000 people who now know better, and that should be enough if each and every one of you contact your member of Congress. Mm. That'll do the job. Yes, Mr. Norton.
What time is your flight?
I should go.
All right, we're going to get rid of Corey, and we should be wrapping this up anyway. What time is it now? 4:30. Oh, you got time. You wanted to... Is it a 5:30 flight?
No. It's a
you got time.
6 p.m. flight.
All right, we'll get you a cab.
You're right on the... Yeah.
We'll get you a cab. Get a cab for Mr. Doctorow.
Right.
Corey, I'm really glad you could be part of this.
Guys.
Thank you so much for being here. EFF.org, boingboing.net. The new book is...
Someone Comes to Town, Someone Leaves Town, EFF Birthday Party Tonight, 454 Shotwell Street in the Colorful Mission.
So everybody who's here can go to that because you just take a cab over. Thank you, Corey, for being here.
See you guys.
We really appreciate it.
See you, Corey.
Come back anytime. I know you live in London now, but please come back anytime. I'd love to have you back. And by the way, he gets no spam.
What's your email address again?
There's no spam I don't get.
There's no spam he doesn't. That's true for me, for sure.
Sort of the inverse of Dvorak.
I'm on every list. I bought a watch online at a Yahoo store. That was a mistake. I now get 20 pieces of watch spam a day.
Oh, man.
All of a sudden. What a coincidence. How did they know?
At this point.
We've got a neat email. I just wanted to... by the way, we've changed kind of how we record the audio on this. And I had hoped to have audio questions from listeners this week. I'd said I would. But because we changed how we do it, I'm not going to be able to do that this week. We'll figure it out. We're now using a ProSonus FirePod.
FireWeasel 4000.
FireWeasel 4000 to get into the get this. And by the way, I want to thank Alex Lindsay and the Pixel Corps because not only are they doing the video, which they're going to stop doing because... Three-camera shoots are not allowed.
We'll figure this out later.
But I also want to thank them for doing the audio. And the biggest blessing for me is they're going to do the editing. So I can go home tonight.
Nice.
Usually I am at the office. Oh, my God.
Medic!
I'm usually at the office till 2 in the morning doing this. So that'll be a real relief. So thank you, Alex, for doing that. Got an email. I thought this was a great email from Lubinsky. Just got into podcasts lately, didn't know what to subscribe to. I'm a fledgling IT guru, didn't know what podcast to subscribe to. Twit was on the top of the list, so I subscribed, and I was glad I did. He said, can you mention my site on the podcast? I'm currently activated from the Army National Guard in Wisconsin. I'm in Kuwait-Iraq border in Navistar, Kuwait. We lost 2 soldiers last week. It'd be cool for maybe to mention something. I will mention something. 3RD Dragoons or 3rddragoons.org. He's got a lot of pictures from the Dragoons out there. And we have, I mention this because I know we have a lot of listeners in the line of fire in all over the world. So we're glad you listen, and our hearts and prayers go out with you. I do have some questions for email. How long have we been going, though? Is anybody timing this?
56.
56? Oh, we got a couple more minutes. You want to answer some questions, or you just want to talk about life and love?
Ask some questions.
We could actually. We have an audience mic. Yeah. Should we take some audience questions? Step right up to the mic. And ask your question away. This is nice. We got a good crowd here in San Francisco. I think this is good, yeah.
All right, my question is, I'm an IT supervisor, and of course, people are downloading on BitTorrent and stuff at work. So I was wondering if there's any way I can monitor this PC or Mac so I can see if they've got good movies. Maybe I can see some.
You want to capture what they're downloading. Can she see into the BitTorrent to see what they're getting? Yeah, you can see that, can't you? Just...
Well, you'd have to take a look at it. I mean, if it's being switched. Well, I mean, there's a couple different ways to do it. If you have the torrent file that they're downloading, you can just, like, torrent spy, drop it, and see.
All you really
what's
have to do is
there.
Capture that little torrent file, which you could do with Ethereal or something, and just all you need to see is that .torrent.
If it's switched, you have to have a switch that has a DMZ port that's feeding all the traffic through so that you can
But you're
that.
Doing that. You're seeing all the traffic go through, right?
Yeah, you can.
And
definitely.
I can see that, you know, they're downloading, you know, so 5 or 6 things at a time.
I shouldn't tell you how to do this, but I'm going to anyway. Yeah. If you had Ethereal or any packet sniffer, Ethereal's a good one, you're watching all the packets. What you want to do is the only packets you really care about are those small .torrent files because those tell you what they're getting.
Right.
And it, the information is doesn't say a file name, but it does, or does it? I know, I can't
remember. There's filters you can apply.
It sends you to a tracker.
And you can find out exactly
and
where
it would tell you
from.
There what they're getting. In fact, all you have to do is open it in Azurius and it would start downloading.
But a workplace network that allows you to download BitTorrent.
That's nice. Yeah. You don't block the BitTorrent ports?
No, why should I?
Yeah. So really your only interest is you just want to share.
Right, because I mean there's a lot of things like I've got everybody hooked on Dig and
that's great.
You know, the broken system and everything like that.
So really what you want is a system so that they don't do multiple downloads of the same file.
Right, and also if somebody's downloading a good movie like Serenity, you know, and I can't find it.
I like this woman. Where do you work and where can I, how can I get a job there?
Where do you work?
I work downtown in the financial district. I manage a couple of IT companies.
That's great. Well, that would be one way to find out what they're getting. I think what you really need is to run a tracker of your own.
Yeah, set up your own tracker.
A little pirate tracker inside the Enterprise and let them get it from there.
Cache all the
this
files
is
locally.
So wrong.
Yeah, cache all files locally. Would a proxy Bit server cache BitTorrent traffic?
Well, you can set up a proxy server to cache anything.
Yeah. As long as you don't have a three-camera shoot, it's okay with Patrick.
That's refreshing.
I'm just having this vision of the door. It's like,
I don't want to get you in trouble.
I work with enough friends in IT to where they're using software to capture screenshots of their user desktops, the client desktops.
Oh, yeah.
In addition to, like, if they catch you so much as running anything, they're at your desk in 5 minutes and pulling the plug on your computer.
Oh, yeah, they're absolutely. Yeah. It's
refreshing.
That,
That's what I'm like.
Well, that's how I found out Digital Life was actually on Torrent. Just by doing that. That's
nice. Or they just don't even tell you and shut your port off. You're like, my interconnection.
DigitalLifeTV.com. It really is the return of the screensavers, because you're actually doing, we're just sitting around gassing. You're actually showing products. I love it. I love it. It's a fabulous show. DigitalLifeTV.com.
Nice.
And Patrick's on there, and Robert's on there. And
we figured out the problem with the TriCaster.
Did you? You finally got that
thing? It's amazing. We actually had one of their. A guy named Oz, who's actually one of their, he's kind of our liaison between, Oz is kind of our liaison between our problems and the engineering staff, who have a, interesting relationship with me, I think, the engineers. The few of them that know I exist are like, son of a...
You yell at them?
I don't yell at them. I just occasionally will relaunch. Like, hey, for all those of you watching the live stream, we want to apologize for that little blip. Our TriCaster ate its own tail, and but it's interesting. We're running into. They gave us some stuff to try to do it. It's amazing that people are using the TriCaster. I mean, the Air Force has a bunch, and a bunch of other people, and they're mostly using them for live presentations.
I'll tell you one thing we will never do.
We're pushing the edge.
We're not going to do this streaming video, and we certainly we're not even switching live at this point. Yeah. We're capturing all the things. What we're going to do is we're going to capture them to a hard drive and use Final Cut, which has a kind of a live switching technique after.
Which is pretty slick.
Yeah, and much better than having to try to. And I can't afford the bandwidth. Ziff Davis can afford the bandwidth for streaming.
Well, it's interesting. Actually, what's been interesting to look at, actually, is looking at the size. I didn't realize how big the system files were until I started looking around and trying to figure out what typical downloads file. Size like download sizes were for
how big is system?
It's a couple hundred megs
for 20 minutes.
No, you've got files as big as like 700 megs up
there.
Well,
that's why I do the full like
that's
full
the 1080p
for people that want to burn it out and put it on their TV.
No, that's more like the 720. I mean, if you do a full NTSC, not even an HD, an NTSC download, it's easy for a half an hour to 40 minutes to get up around a gigabyte.
You know, Alex has even really been doing well at encoding H.264. You play with it, you can get it small, smaller anyway. You know, and there's tricks to it, aren't there? I mean, it's
you just don't have to use as high of bit rate as you normally would to get good quality.
But also when you're shooting it, having stable backgrounds. One of the things he does that's, I think, very smart is a lot of screenshots. Because screenshots compress great. And, everybody likes screenshots. What's wrong with that?
Not a thing.
Not a thing.
You know, unless you're trying to do a whole bunch of viewing motion,
we can't do screenshots, but we're just sitting here talking heads. If guys, I just want to ask you not to move any part of your face but your lips.
Well, what you need is those wooden clamps they used to use on 19th century, photographs.
Take shots of her head, and we'll clutch cargo or lips.
There you go. That'd be much easier. We figured it out. We can get these down
creepy.
To 5-6K a minute.
It'd be like Conan O'Brien.
What we need is bigger pixels.
And then we can have any guest we want.
I like this T-shirt. It's an on-off switch. Isn't that the universal sign for on-off?
More power.
It took me a long time to figure out what that's a one and a zero, right? But it kind of looks like a switch. Another question from the audience.
Hi, I was just wondering what you thought about Adobe's purchase of Macromedia. That's going to just crush web developers as far as choices on products that they can use.
There were choices?
Oh. So have they said whether they're going to keep Go Live or Dreamweaver? Are they going to keep both? Or
I'm not sure if they're going to compress into one product. Or
well, that wouldn't be so bad, would it? I mean,
there's always Front Page. I'm just kidding.
Prove that idea.
Just kidding.
I like the universal laughter in the background.
Yeah, everybody
amazing.
Knew that. Everybody
knows
the Front Page.
It's just like
sucks.
An HTML client.
If you just say Front Page, they laugh.
They know it
Isn't
sucks.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I like this group.
Well, you know what's funny is the best developers or web developers that I know, they all still hand code their stuff.
They need Notepad.
Yeah, they don't even use any. I mean, they use some of
That's changing, though, don't you think? You can't CSS by hand.
But you still run into people who are using these huge CMA systems that are custom designed. and feeding tens of thousands of, I mean, for huge companies, huge media companies, and there's still people that go in, and Roger's like, you go in and you tweak a line here and you fix something.
I spent a lot of time writing, you know, bracket A, href equals. I mean, I admit.
You got to fix video on our site, you got to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're right.
I mean, there's services like Subversion and things like that and CVS-based systems where you check out certain files and certain...
I saw a great page. A guy's using Subversion, which is a CVS checkout for programmers. He's using it to run his life.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Isn't that hysterical?
That was awesome.
Man, I must have seen it on Dig then. I thought, what a great idea. You, CVS, you know, that's a programmer for you.
Yeah.
Other ways we can use the, versioning to save our time and life. Did you get a cross tattooed on your hand, David Prager?
Oh, no, that's from going to a place last night.
That's from his Bato Gangster
days. You
know,
you, you show your ID, pay your cover charge.
I didn't know churches were doing that now. That's pretty cool.
Went to the bottom of the hill.
Another question. I don't know if we answered that question. Adobe, Macromedia, bad idea. What are you going to do? It's your life, right?
As long as they don't make it more like Go Live. I've always been a fan of Dreamweaver.
I like Dreamweaver. Yeah. I do, too. I am a Dreamweaver guy. When they bought HomeSite, it didn't kill HomeSite.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still.
I mean, it depends on whether they plan to close one of the product lines down or to do that really horrifying thing where they try to streamline multiple products into one unified.
You know, don't you? Why don't you put on these headphones? Because I think, was it you, Alex, who told me that what the plans were that Adobe was going to keep, maybe it was Burt Monroy, Adobe was going to keep Illustrator but drop Freehand. Freehand's dead. That would make sense.
I don't know what the answer is, but I think that... most likely Freehand's out.
Yeah.
Illustrator is by far...
Nobody's going to cry over that.
No one's going to... Yeah. Except for the guys using Freehand.
Both of them.
Yeah, all three of them. Yeah, exactly. The Go Live is probably the one that's probably the most threatened. I mean, Dreamweaver is kind of the standard.
The gold standard.
Yeah, so I think those are the big...
Are
the
you
big
a Go Live user? Is that why you're worried?
I'm more of a Macromedia or a Swish user.
Swish instead of Flash.
Yeah, Swish. Because they have a lot of the features, like the scripting language. Yeah.
Swish is going to be okay. I mean, Swish is not affected by this, right?
Yeah. I was just more concerned with, less of a choice. I mean...
Yeah. Well, that's always bad, right?
Yeah, but I think, I don't know, most people I knew that were doing... Like, most people who were doing, artistic... Like, just artists who just want to throw
they're
something
Adobe
up. They were using Go Live because it was connected to Photoshop.
Ah.
And the people who wanted needed more technical background, who needed bigger sites, things that were more robust...
JavaScript
tended to
and stuff
be more
like that. Yeah.
Dreamweaver.
That's where Dreamweaver really excels, in embedding objects, and scripting objects, and things like that. It's really good at that.
What's the deal with Photoshop Elements? You said it's coming out just for PC.
Just for PC?
Well, it's actually PC first. Adobe's kind of going, we're going to put one out for Mac, but it is interesting that they're not syncing them all up. It's important to with the Pro apps to keep them all synced. So the CS2 will continue to be synced, but with the consumer apps, they were like, it's less important, and we have more users that are PC users, and so they kind of went that way. But it's an interesting, there's this, it's an interesting thing that Adobe keeps on moving towards more and more of the PC side of things, and it's, yeah. I think it's there's these rumors, there were rumors for years that Apple had an Intel OS, that was running.
Everybody knew it.
And there's been rumors for less years that Apple has a Photoshop killer that's floating around that they won't unleash unless the day Adobe... Basically, this is the day Adobe releases...
It's the cyanide pill.
But it's exactly what it is.
No, what it is it's the day Adobe drops Photoshop on the Mac, if that ever happens, Apple releases
next
basically
week.
Something
really cheap.
I mean,
is it based on
cheap.
The GIMP, or is it like rumors, the stuff that... Remember,
that's what I do, is I'd base it on GIMP.
Rumors are it's based on GIMP.
Yeah.
Which means it would have to be...
Have they talked to your buddy down there at G4?
No, they haven't talked to him.
Whatever happened to the stuff that came out?
By the way, I just want to say I want to make a release that those are all rumors that I've heard, not from
Apple.
He
does not know anything.
I don't know anything. I think I know more about what Apple's doing than what.
The big rumor is that Apple's going to slipstream some new iPods out. Yeah. They snuck some Mac Mini upgrades out. Didn't tell anybody. They upgraded the Mini this week. That was kind of wild. What they're doing? They're keeping the flame going because they're afraid people are going to stop buying Macs waiting for Intel. So they're going to kind of slightly do everything sneaky it out, right?
Yeah. And I think the Intel's, the thing I'm most excited about is being able to run everything on one box.
I want a PowerBook with a Pentium M. That's what I want. That's going to be great.
I agree. Same
That's going to be the thing. And then, you could dual boot, or better yet, seamless Windows with a Windows window and a Mac window.
When I... it's interesting because I don't think Apple, obviously, it's great for them because it's a hardware, you know, they're a hardware company. And right. for Microsoft, in a lot of right. ways, it's great for them too because they can sell more operating systems. They're
everybody's
not a, you know, so in many ways, you
everybody's
know,
happy.
Because they have virtual PCs, so they'll be able to build something that's really, really fast. The only people that are going to be upset are more like Dell and Gateway have.
I want to. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what it actually finally ships in June.
I want to issue an invitation right now for Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. When they do that big hug, they can do it on Twit.
Okay. Just want to, epic.
Just, you know, guys, just remember who your friends are. No, that's the wrong way to approach it. Any other stories anybody wants to cover? We got to wrap this thing up. I want to thank Alex Lindsay and the Pixel Corps for providing audio. You know, I really let go of it this time. I'm not even wearing headphones. That's how much I've let go of Twit.
Hopefully that'll be a good thing.
We'll see. If the sound quality sucks, ladies and gentlemen, you know who to blame. And
it's
it
all
ain't me. And remember, you've got to edit out those four-letter words.
We
in the
are.
Middle. Okay, good. Very important. Because we thank AOL Radio for providing the bandwidth for this, and one of the conditions of AOL Radio, and I think it's a fine one, is that there be no ads and no profanity. There were no ads during this broadcast, were there?
AOL.
AOL Radio.
I heard
that's the only
say.
Ad. AOLmusic.com. Thank them for the bandwidth. Thanks to Dorothy Yamamoto for the Twit logo. I'm getting more and more stuff with Twits on it. Hats, T-shirts. The folks at ThinkGeek, I'm pretty sure, are going to come through. Now, is that going to get you in trouble, Patrick, if they have...
Only with Jinx.
Okay. Well, yeah, you got a Jinx relationship. Is Jinx going to get mad at us?
Actually, we both have a Jinx relationship.
Yeah, they're just buddies of ours. It
all right. They're not
going
to get mad.
Yeah, they can
all
care
right.
us.
Because Jinx wasn't going to do action figures.
Ah, you want the Leo Laporte action figure.
I don't care about Leo. I want to have Patrick and Kevin. I go, No, that's my hope.
Sorry, I remember the Mendel image of an action figure, and it just... keeps going sideways on me. I can't
quite
picture
make the John C. Dvorak one, I'll buy it.
How many of you would buy a John C. Dvorak? I get no
I
spam action
buy that.
Figure.
With the pull string in the back.
With the pull string in the back,
yes. Of course.
I get no spam.
Of course you would. I would
check
buy
out my
it.
Blog at Deep Dangle.
It'll be, yeah, right. You pull the string, it says Dvorak.org/blog. I think that's a good product. John would sign off on that one.
These buttons now.
Anyway, unfortunately, Jen, who is Jen Frazier, who's our ThinkGeek liaison, is on vacation, but as soon as I think she's burnt out, frankly, but as soon as she gets back from vacation, which has been 6 weeks, we will we'll make that move.
How many people work at ThinkGeek now?
I don't know.
So they feel like everybody did everything depending on what the most crushing emergency
yeah.
was at the time.
I mean, it's a cool organization. I think it's a good one for us to partner with, don't you?
And they have wonderful t-shirts.
And not just t-shirts, though. See, I want...
blankets.
I want the whole thing. I want, you know, hats.
Bedspreads.
Bedspreads. I want action figures. I'm
want a Leo Laporte
boxer shorts
edition wardrobe.
No, I already got
people.
Leo Laporte boxer shorts. I don't need any more of those. They don't sell well, by the way.
Seersucker suit?
They do not sell well. Maybe
not
it's
nearly as
I'm...
well as the Will Wheaton thongs.
No, yeah.
That's a very bad image in my head right now. Thank you very much.
Sorry about that. Thanks to Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com for our opening theme. Ashley Twit for our closing theme. Anybody you want to thank? Anybody? Dig.com.
D-I-double-G.
Roger Chang wants everybody to go to the Fisherman's Galley in Modesto, California.
Yay. Like seafood, it's a great place to go.
Finally, I got something to plug for Roger.
That's awesome.
His folks own it.
Awesome.
Yeah. If you're ever in Modesto, can we do the show from there?
Sure. I'll
Is there a lot of room?
There's a bar.
There's a bar.
Hey, what else
right.
do we do?
Half
would you all go to Modesto to see this?
Yes.
You're the only. I know you would, Mike and Gene. They live near Modesto. They come all the way from... Where do you come from again?
Folsom.
From Folsom.
Ow.
Can you believe that? Not the prison, though. No. Alex Lindsay of the Pixel Corps, thank you for being here. Cory Doctorow, of course, who's already on his way to the airport to Robert Herron. We'll see you on Digital Life TV, yes?
Definitely.
Going to review some big screens?
I have a ton. This is the time of the year where they're all coming out. Yeah. It's raining.
Did they do that because of football Christmas. Season? They're like, now's the time to...
It's sure. just that end of the year, from like October to yeah.
Christmas.
The end of November.
So they can do that weird yeah. credit yeah. plan, you know, yeah, don't pay anything till next yeah. year.
But you know what it is, too? They're also hyping for CES in January 06.
This is it. This is the time.
They're going to show the new stuff that's going to eclipse everything that's coming out right now.
Business in the last 3 months of the year.
Right.
Let's
right.
do a Twit from CES.
Okay, deal.
Let's do it.
January,
it's
the second week of January? That's
yeah. January
a great idea.
5th, I think it starts.
That's yeah. a great idea. I will make the calls this week. We will do it from CES. Are you all going to CES?
I'm there for like
potentially.
5 days.
I'm there for a long time.
I guess you're going, David.
Yeah. I can.
We're going.
The boss says you're going.
Oh, that's not my
you're
boss.
You're going. I booked a CD motel last year, and I think I can get those reservations nice. Again.
Actually, the Best Western where we're staying is like right around the corner. It has free Wi-Fi.
That's why I booked this CD Motel. Yeah. It's like walking
distance.
It's
got the scariest casino you've ever seen.
The Best Western?
It looks like somebody's living room that hasn't been touched since like the mid-60s.
Where's this?
And it makes the terrible Herb
The Best
seem
Western.
Upscale.
It's just like, you know, I think we've got to do is bring Martin Sargent.
The hotel's close.
And as part of TWiT, we could do Marty's Las Vegas tour.
But we'd have to host it as Slots of Fun.
Yeah. Slots of Fun. Lots of Fun.
Is that the place with the dollar Guinness beers?
That's the place with the, like,
no, that's a great idea. TWiT from Slots of Fun. That's a great idea. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here. We'll see you next week at an undisclosed location. Another TWiT is in the can. I promise next time we will have seats.
This is a crap society. This is a crap generation's one. This one. There's crap everywhere. There's ads everywhere.